Hey guys, this week we've got part two of Jen's interview with Goons. We pick it up with Jen about to introduce her favorite song from the band. So enjoy.
Certainly, and I think it carries through too. This is like a nice segue into my first pick, because it doesn't matter if you guys are singing a ballad or if you're, you know, really like letting us have a dance track. Like, you can hear the genuineness and the joy, even when you are singing those ballads, in your voice. Yeah, there's not a trace of apathy anywhere, and I love that. So for my first pick, my favorite Goons track, and my second pick is quickly catching up to this one, but I like a song called BHBP.
I love that this is your favorite song.
It's my favorite. I love it. And of course it stands for Big Heart, Big Problems. Once you listen, you'll understand. But I think I shared this with you guys before we started recording. To me, this is like the essence of junior high dance, right? Like, I can close my eyes and picture, you know, my hands on his waist and his hands on my shoulders, and we're swaying back and forth. You know, it's just like, it's the song that you wait to come on so that you can slow dance with your crush.
Right.
From beginning to end, you know, it starts with, let's get out of the city, somewhere we can breathe. You don't need lipstick on to look pretty. Any man with eyes can see. Like, oh, it's just the sweetest, nicest. It's like, I think that my eighth grade boyfriend like wrote that to me in a card, you know. Like, it's just, it's beautiful. And then there's a line that comes back too that I love, where you say, I'm smart, but I act dumb. Big heart, big problems. And I'm just like, oh, so clever. This one gave me like Richard Marx ballad vibes a little bit, you know, that whole thing. And then the talking montage at the end, where it sounds like snippets of a conversation, or for me, like old answering machine tapes.
Right.
I love when that part comes in as well. I'm not sure like where that choice came from, but I love it.
Yeah, I can actually, I love this song. There's a lot that I can talk to about this song, but I'll try and condense it so that I'm not here all day just talking about it. But it was the first ballad that I had ever written. And this is a song that I wrote by myself. I actually wrote this before I had ever met Sydney. And she came in and re-recorded some of the vocals that I had recorded, because I thought they would sound a lot better if she had sung them than me, which... That it did. That was great. But
thanks.
But when I wrote this, I was very depressed. It was not a happy moment in my life, and I was trying to actively choose to do things that I wanted to do, kind of in isolation, without the opinion of others affecting me. And in terms of 80s music, this kind of 80s music is something that a lot of people laugh at, and they think is cheesy and corny and funny and not actually creative, but more kind of like a...
overly indulgent.
Yeah, when people think about their middle school dance song, a lot of people think about that in a kind of corny way. But for me, that kind of music actually really like
hits.
Pulls my heart.
Yeah.
And
it's
wanted...
the purest and truest time, right? It's before you have all the experience that you have now that makes you scared and afraid to go there and not want to be vulnerable. So for me, this is like the truest, purest form or time for a love song.
It was like therapy for me to write. I knew I wanted like to do a key change, and I knew I wanted it to sound huge and reverby like an arena ballad. And I had this concept that, I mean, I had hurt myself over and over in my life by basically being a very emotional dude. And always, I feel like I have good intentions, and yet I have made stupid decisions in my life based upon the fact that I have, sometimes I feel like I have a big heart, you know, and I can cause my own problems by living that way without the kind of pragmatic or realistic element, which... I have definitely adjusted into being a very pragmatic person as a full grown adult. But But yeah, the talking stuff and the talking montage at the end was actually the first kind of very modern influence in terms of artists. I fell in love with, in my early 20s, a band called Bleachers. There's a producer named Jack Antonoff who has produced... Yeah, he's produced a lot of Taylor Swift and Lorde and a lot of major artists. But he uses vocal samples and weird sounds like all throughout his music. And I watched an interview with him one time where he was talking very specifically about the reason why he makes his music sound so chaotic and how in his mind he feels like what he hears all the time is chaos and like voices all over the place and things telling him he should do this and things telling him he should do that and just different inner monologues. And it always feels kind of like chaos, and music has always been the tool that for him has bursted through and made order out of that chaos. And I've always, man, I just thought that was so beautiful. And I was like, that's kind of how I feel like probably all of our brains work, but it's definitely how my brain works. Mm-hmm. And so our first album has a lot of samples and a lot of kind of bombastic moments that it's kind of a way for the listener to feel like to be a part of me trying to sort through my own emotions and thoughts. Yeah, so that's where that came from.
Well, and it all comes together in a really neat, tidy, listenable way. You know, it never feels chaotic or it never feels unintentional. Everything feels really deliberate and like it's placed exactly where it should be. So it felt very precise to me, and I love that. And then we sort of went from a ballad to my second pick, which is the title track off of the new album called Come a Little Closer.
I'm so happy with, yeah, go for it.
I mean, this song, Sydney, I mean, I feel like you really just like show us what you've got here. You know, like it's your voice just flies. It is like that's the only thing I kept writing. I'm like, it's just soaring. It's flying. It's like I you can't ever put a lid on it. It's like so it's just beyond. And I love that about this song. I get super Susanna Hoffs vibes. She has a great song after she left the Bangles called We Close Our Eyes. I think it was on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer soundtrack, the movie, the Sarah Michelle Gellar movie. And it's one of my favorite songs. If you're not familiar with it, it's a deep track kind of, but go check it out.
And check it out.
This song totally evoked memories of that for me. And then obviously like Eternal Flame by the Bangles. And I think it's just because your voice is so big and so rich. And the rhyming scheme in the song is so clever. I don't know why you don't hear magic and tragic more often or classic and drastic more often. I'm like, they're amazing. And then also too, I don't know why this pops out to me every time I listen. Maybe you guys can tell me. But even the part where you say, babe, you really got me now. Like that even feels like a super 80s thing to say, you know, like, it's just the whole thing. And then you slow build to this crescendo, which totally delivers. I love this song. And I'm so happy it's the title track.
Yeah. When it came down to picking out what the title track was going to be, we were down to a couple different options from the album, but this song I think is one of the songs that we together have collaborated on over the longest period of time. I brought an idea for this to Cole back in 2019. It was right after we had finished touring with Goons for the first time, and when I came into Goons at the very beginning, Cole and I had just been friends. And after about over a year of that progressing, we eventually kind of looked at each other and figured out that we were kind of into into it with each other. And we were like, do we want to date? Do we want to try doing this while we're also in the middle of a writing project together? How do we want to go about that and protect that? Because we also really care about that. But it was something that we took a risk on, and this song was one of the first things that I wrote that I felt was also indicative of what we were kind of going through at the time, and where the song now has landed in terms of on the album is so special to me for that reason. It is both a reflection of what I feel like we were both risking in the beginning of being like, okay, I don't know 100% what to call this yet, but there's something really good here going on, and I think I want you, I'd rather you come a little closer than you go further away. And on top of that, when I was getting into Goons, my background has been, I've been far more comfortable being more of a background vocalist. Like, I'm really good at blending in, figuring out how to kind of chameleon my voice to what's going on in the forefront and being like, how can I best support your sound? And this was one of the first songs that we were recording that Cole was like, I really think that you need to, like, take full lead on this. And that was, that took some time for me to get comfortable trusting that I was going to be able to fill the space with the kind of music that we write. I grew up doing a lot of music theatery stuff. I grew up doing a lot of choir stuff. But it's taken a lot of work for me to find. I knew that I was comfortable letting my voice get really big, but often when my voice was big, it was very like choral or almost operatic for a number of years. So finding something that felt more like a true pop sound, something that felt like a truer 80s sound, that's been an ongoing journey for me. And I'm really proud of what came out in this song, because I was like, I think that this lands very much in a comfortable space where I never feel like I'm, you know, trying to sing like somebody that I'm not. But it's cool to listen to it and go, this is the product of a lot of kind of vocal soul searching and creative soul searching for me. And it's fun and it feels really good and it feels authentic. And there were lots of different influences that ended up going into this. At first, it was very inspired by Carly Rae Jepsen. She has a song called Want You in My Room that initially I'd been listening to over and over and over again. And I wrote the initial idea for this song on guitar with this kind of poppy, upbeat rhythm. And over time, it turned into more of a, Cole had suggested, well, why don't we actually take this, what if we play with this in a different direction, more like Getaway Car by Taylor Swift?
Yep.
And so we had a fully produced, like, very Taylor Swift version of this song that then sat on a shelf for forever. And when we came back to finishing out the album, we said, what if we kind of take a little bit of what we did in the Taylor Swift one, but 80s-ify it a little bit more, do some rewrites on the verses, and it became what it is today. So what do you think? Any thoughts?
Yeah, this song actually had three different fully produced variants.
Yeah.
The first one.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure you remember. I don't know if you remember this, but the first one was very 80s.
Yes, it was. I do remember that one, yeah.
And it had like a drum machine, and it just wasn't. This was, Sydney loves this song. I love it. I love it as a song. It was the hardest one that I've ever produced. And I still feel like I didn't do it the way I wanted it to be, just because I feel like I heard it a certain way. And I tried so hard, but I don't know. I struggle with, I'm a perfectionist, but I feel like it could be better. But it started as an 80s, very 80s song. Then we made a super modern version of it. And then we basically smashed them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this feels to me more like our most modern song. But it's still, we can't really make something that doesn't sound like the 80s. So it definitely sounds like the 80s. But
and it lands perfectly. You know, it lands, like, I can hear, you know, in the beginning I referenced Susanna Hoff and the Bangles, but I hear you guys, like, I definitely hear Carly Rae Jepsen. I hear Taylor Swift. I can hear all of that in it. So it did. It meshed perfectly and it landed just super well. I love the album. I love you guys. I love the old album, the new album, all of them. And then I mean, I'm just like everybody, you got to like check out Never Leave the Love Behind, which kind of has an almost paradise feel, super dancey, Electron Multiplier, so fun and reminds me of like a Robert Palmer or a Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters. Could also help you pass a science test, any kids out there that are listening. And that's the other thing I'll say too, is that, you know, for our younger listeners that are fans of music that's come out of the Goldbergs or Stranger Things, like, jump into Goons. It really, you guys, again, capture that sensibility so well with brand new songs, you know, so that I love. Well, before we wrap it up, I know that you guys are hitting the road next year. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so this weekend, actually, maybe it'll be after this or before this podcast comes out, but we're about to buy a bus and we are going to renovate that bus and turn it into a mobile Goonsmobile, essentially. It'll be something that we live in, not full time, but part time. And we're going to do some traveling and touring. We haven't done serious touring since 2019. And so it's about time for us to
get it on the road.
Yeah, get it on the road. So next year, hopefully, we will be going all over the place. Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait. I'm going to be like your Penny Lane following behind, I imagine.
I love it.
Oh, well, Goons, thank you so much for sharing your new album with me. You can listen to Come a Little Closer, the new album, on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you stream. And to keep up with all things Goons, you can find them on Instagram at Goon Vibes Only. That's GOONVIBESONLY. To our listeners, please join me again next week to find your new favorite song.